This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
Things are going so well for Pompey that even the corner flags are lending a helping hand.
And Sadie could break away from Brown here. And Christian Sadie's one on one. And Christian Sadie scores! Portsmouth lead! Sadie's first lead goal for Portsmouth! Didn't he take it well?
Christian Sadie of the Hero on Saturday, scoring his first league goal for the Blues in a nervy but huge victory over Oxford United at Fratton Park. We'll hear from the match winner himself, who talks about having to work his way back into the team after quite some time without being selected.
The highs are the highs and the lows are the lows, but moments like that makes me stronger and makes me want to carry on doing well.
Head coach John Messino will also feature. He's been given his assessment of the game and what he's taken from it.
I thought some elements of our play today was really good. There was some stuff we were frustrated with, but just at this stage of the season, it is all about the result.
A full review of Saturday's win over the U's for Portsmouth men, as well as another successful Sunday for the women's side as well. 2-1 was the scoreline of the weekend, it seems, and we'll hear tonight from Emma Jones, whose brace helped turn things around for Pompey away at Cardiff to secure another league victory.
I didn't think that we weren't going to score or like bring it back. I just think we've all got such a fight and we just want to win.
And we'll get the thoughts of boss Jay Sadler too.
It was a sucker punch goal, but the way we've responded shows the mentality of this group, and ultimately I'm obviously proud.
That's all to come here on 93.7 Express FM, where you're listening to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, welcome to the show. Thank you for choosing us as your Monday dinner time listening. And if you're replaying us through as a podcast, you're not tuning in live, hello to you too. Thanks for taking the time to download and listen back to this episode. Well, coming up tonight, we'll bring you all of the action and reaction to the weekend's results, including Saturday's 2-1 win over Oxford for Pompey's men at Fratton Park, with the thoughts to come of Christian Sadie and John Messino, as well as Sunday's victory for Portsmouth women away at Cardiff City. We'll be hearing this evening from both Emma Jones and Jay Sadler about that one, but more importantly, Blues fans, we want to hear from you. If you weren't already, are you starting to believe just a little bit? What have you made of Conor Ogilvie in recent weeks after he returned back to the side following a spell on the sidelines? And Saturday's atmosphere at Fratton was brilliant, especially towards the end of the game. But when was the last time you heard PO4 rocking like that? All the usual ways. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com. Over on X, it's at expressfm. Facebook.com/PompeyLive. Or you can download and get in touch via the ExpressFM app, available for free on the Apple app and Google Play stores. Well, Pompey welcomed Oxford United to the South Coast at the weekend with a 7-point cushion at the top of League One, following defeats for both Derby and Bolton in midweek. John Messino made one change to his side that were held to a goalless draw at Charlton a week prior. Miles Peart-Harris lining up in midfield alongside Marlon Pack, with Owen Moxon taking position on the bench. We have all of the action here on Pompey Live, where commentary was brought to you by Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
Bentona has blown his whistle and we are underway at Pratt Park. Pompey break forward. Here's Kamara looking to find Lang. Lang in the area. Chance for Lang. It's into the net. Portsmouth have scored. It's gone straight through Jamie Cumming. Lang puts Pompey ahead inside 90 seconds. Another one the goalkeeper has to save. He doesn't. The Pompey fans don't care. Portsmouth 1, Oxford 0. That's a nice ball in, field to Peart-Harris, who then gives the ball away, and this is dangerous. Harris outside the box, chance played it into the area, chance for Oxford, got to be a penalty kick, foul by Raggett. Oxford United have got a penalty. Brannigan will hit this right-footed and score, sending Will Norris the wrong way, and Cameron Brannigan levels it up. Portsmouth 1, Oxford 1. Lang finds Lane up against Stevens if he wants to take him on. Pack will take it 40 yards out. Cries of shoot. Instead, pack into Bishop. Bishop shot blocked. Still there for Bishop. Shot again. That's a brilliant save. The referee, Ben Toner, blowing his whistle to bring the first 45 minutes to a conclusion. It is 1-1. Murphy against Rafferty. Murphy's shot is blocked first by Rafferty. His second shot is blocked by the post. He nearly broke the post. And it's out for a throw. Couldn't have hit that much better. Pompey survived. 1-1. And Sadie could break away from Brown here. And Christian Sadie's 1-1. And Christian Sadie scores! Portsmouth lead! Sadie's first lead goal for Portsmouth. Didn't he take it well? Strength, power, a good advantage by the referee. It's Portsmouth 2, Oxford 1. Murphy against Rafferty coming into the penalty area. And the shot comes in. And Norris palms it away. And it's a good palm because it's away from Dale, who was lurking. Stood up to the far post. Big men are arriving. Moore's header. And Sadie hooks it away from under his own bar. Another corner. We have played 5 minutes of stoppage time. And the whistle is blown. And Bratton Park erupt. And how big a victory might that be on the path to possible promotion from League One?
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, those were the highlights from Saturday's nervy but very, very big win over Oxford United at Fratton Park. Right, let's go through the other results from across of the division out of the weekend. Then a win for Bolton Wanderers, 2-0 victors over Cambridge United. Carlisle United 1, Reading 3, Cheltenham 0, Burton 0. Derby County a win for them as well, 3-0 winners over Port Vale. It finished Fleetwood 4, Wigan Athletic 2, Leyton Orient 0, Bristol Rovers 1, Lincoln City 0, Stevenage 0, Northampton Town 1, Charlton 1, Peterborough United 2, Exeter City 1, Shrewsbury Town 0, Blackpool 2, and Wickham Wanderers 2, Barnsley 4. So just to recap, of course, we're getting now to the business end of the season. Pompey's promotion rivals, Bolton Wanderers, 2-0 winners over Cambridge United. Derby County, 3-0 victors at home to Port Vale. Peterborough United, dropped off a little bit in recent weeks, but they were back to winning ways, 2-1 over Exeter on Saturday. And Barnsley on a real, real good run of form at the moment. Again, winners on Saturday afternoon. So, like Pompey, all of those four victorious at the weekend, which doesn't change a lot at the top of the League One standings, as things, of course, state. Pompey are top on 76 points, unbeaten in their last nine. Derby County still 7 points behind the Blues on 69 points. They have no games in hand. Bolton Wanderers are in third, also on 69 points, 7 points behind Pompey with one game in hand. Barnsley in fourth position, 66 points on the board. They are 10 points behind Pompey, two games in hand. Peterborough United in fifth, 62 points, also two games in hand on Pompey. Stevenage are in sixth with 60 points. They have a game in hand on seventh place Oxford, who have 3 points fewer than Stevenage as things stand. Pompey, of course, still have to play Derby County, Bolton, Barnsley and Peterborough between now and the end of the season. Down at the bottom, Carlisle United remain rooted to the foot of the table. They are now 15 points adrift of safety. They're joined by Fleetwood Town, Port Vale and Cheltenham in the relegation zone. That is the current state of play in League One. Well, I'm delighted to say alongside myself to go through all of Saturday's action. First and foremost, joining us is Mr. Andy Mitchell. Andy, a very good evening to you, sir.
Hello, Jake. Nice to talk to you. How are things?
Yeah, great to have you. Yeah, things are good. I've just dried out from that riding. It is horrendous weather out there if you're in and around Portsmouth at the moment. But no, we're all good. We're all dried out, ready to go. And we've got a big game to talk about from Saturday, Andy. Maybe not Pompey's most convincing of performances, but a huge win.
Yeah, at this point, I think whether it was a convincing performance or not, genuinely less relevant than it probably would have been 20 games ago. It's one of those where you need to grind the result out against an Oxford team who are, you know, they're not a weak side to come up against. We only just really, well, in the away leg earlier this season, had a tough test then at the Kassam, and it was exactly the same this time round. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to find too many people complaining about the performance when we've escaped with 3 points like that.
No, absolutely not. And alongside myself and Andy tonight, we've got Pepe Lacey joining us over the powers of the internet too. Pepe, good evening.
Evening, Jake. Evening, everyone. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you, Pepe. Like we just said then, Oxford United on Saturday, a 2-1 win. And first of all, give a bit of credit to the opposition because they made Pompey work throughout the entire 90 minutes on Saturday. That was no walk in the park.
Oh, absolutely. And I was speaking to Jack Ward Football Podcast before the game, and he was sort of saying if Oxford set up quite defensive, he was probably expecting Pompey to turn Oxford over. And when we went 1-0 up after 2 minutes, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here we go. Obviously, it didn't turn out like that, with Sean Ragger conceding a Stonewall penalty after about 5 minutes later. And then it was sort of Oxford's first half, really, on the balance of play. And then obviously Christian Sadie coming up with a winner. But it's sort of Pompey, isn't it? Oxford United turn up. They play the best football under Des Buckerman, of course, at Fratton Park. So, of course, it had to be. But Pompey edged it on the day. And did they probably deserve the 3 points? Probably over the course of 90 minutes, probably not. But it wasn't Pompey's best performance, but a win's a win, like Andy said.
Yeah. And as Pepe's alluded to there, Andy, Oxford United turning up on Saturday, maybe one of their best performances under Des Buckingham so far. We don't know that. We don't watch every single Oxford game. But heading into kickoff, they'd only secured one win in their previous nine. And do you think that maybe sometimes when teams come away from home against the league leaders, that there's some element of raising the game as they would maybe any other match?
Yeah, I think so to a certain extent. I mean, being in that Fratton Park atmosphere when it is like it was this Saturday just gone, I think it's going to bring the best out of a lot of away players. I mean, I think as we hopefully keep climbing up the leagues, that's probably going to be less of an issue. I think it's less relevant now than it would have been when we were in League Two, and we were kind of a really big day out, if we're being honest, for a lot of sides who are used to playing in front of smaller fan bases. But yeah, you'd have to say, I mean, I've watched a decent amount of Oxford this year on the Tuesday nights when Pompey haven't played, and it was definitely one of their better performances for sure. But I thought they looked pretty good against us in the second half at the Kassam as well. But yeah, they looked dangerous going forward on the wings. I thought in the away leg at the Kassam earlier this season, Kamara was pretty much negated for a lot of the game, and got some more success this time round. But yeah, it was definitely one of their better performances. They're not a bad side by any stretch, and Des Buckingham's just not really getting the rub of the green at the moment overall, I don't think. But their fan response to that game was that the performance they thought was, you know, definitely one of their better ones. And if they play like that week in, week out, they're going to be in with a shout of the playoffs, you would think, in a few weeks' time.
Yeah. We're going to talk a bit more about the goals and the events of the match in more detail in part two of the show. We'll go through the game a bit more chronologically. But first of all, I want to read this tweet out from Callum, an Oxford United fan on X, who says, a bit late to this one, but would like to say how brilliant Fratton Park looks. Might be my favourite ground of the EFL on looks alone. The sort of stadium you're proud to play at every other week. And that is coming from an Oxford United fan, Pepe, and a few others in the comments below, sort of, you know, referencing the away end as well. Sean Moran saying away end looks proper now. They've done a very good job doing it up. And that is testament to the hard work we've seen done at Fratton Park over the last couple of years. And it's great to see that it's not just Pompey fans giving praise to that new Milton end, but it's also opposing fans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the attendance being the highest it was on Saturday for the first time since 2010, I think it was,
yeah,
if I read correct online. But yeah, no, and it's so good having the Pompey fans in the Milton end as well. It just sort of adds that four corners of Fratton Park just giving noise. And I think we'll probably end up talking about the atmosphere a bit later on in the show, but having four stands giving it the big one, just really, it makes Fratton Park a fortress again. And we sort of lost that over the, especially during the COVID period. Before that, before COVID, Pompey or Fratton, didn't we go unbeaten for nearly a year under Kenny Jackett at home? Then COVID hit, and then that sort of, we lost that sort of fortress feel to it because, yeah, there's no fans there. And then obviously after COVID, the capacity dropping capacity with obviously the north stand being redeveloped, the south stand being redeveloped, and then obviously the Milton end. So to have Fratton Park fall to the ram, really, and it just looks good. It looks so good. I was watching the highlights yesterday, and it just feels like home again. And I'm proud to be a Pompey fan at the moment, Jake. And yeah, Fratton Park just has that special feel around it at the moment.
Going to go through the goals, as I mentioned, in part two of the show. Great to see on Saturday Christian Sadie get his first league goal for Pompey this season. Let's hear from him now. The match winner from the weekend spoke to Max Swatton shortly after the game.
Chris, we're absolutely buzzing for you, mate. How are you feeling right now?
Over the moon. I'm very happy. Waiting a long time for it. Yeah, very happy.
Talk us through the goal.
I think it was Skip. Skip wrapped it in, I think, and then I tried to like take a touch early in front of him, and then it was kind of like a 50-50 and I came out on top. And then as soon as I was 1-1 with the keeper, I just thought I just hit the back of the net. So yeah,
you see the ball come over from Marlon, you beat your man, you're running through on goal. What exactly is going through your mind at that moment in time?
I don't think I was ever nervous. I think at the time I just thought, just concentrate on getting a good connection and hit the target. And then once that happened, it just went in. So yeah.
How nice did it feel to be able to celebrate with your teammates as well?
Felt good. Skip's been telling me that my goal's coming and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, but yeah, it felt very good.
What did the gaffer say to you when you came in? What did he want you to contribute to the game?
He wanted me to come on and do well. He wanted me to play because he said I've been doing so well in training. And I think from that is probably a very good positive. So hopefully I can just keep doing it.
Now, I know you would have sort of gone through some frustration, particularly towards the start of the new year, but how good does it feel to be able to come out on the other side of that and put in a showing like you did today?
Yeah, it feels really good for things like that to happen. It's football, but obviously the highs are the highs and the lows are the lows, but moments like that, I think, makes me stronger and makes me want to carry on doing well. So yeah.
Now, I know, and like you've said, you've been waiting a long time for that first league goal, but just how does it feel to be able to say you've got one now?
I'm buzzing. I think I've been waiting to say that I've got one and go home to my parents and so we can talk about it and stuff, so I'm just happy it's happened now.
How did it feel to do the fist pumps at the front end to the end as well?
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for Colby to come over, but yeah, it felt really good, yeah.
And just finally, what did you make of the atmosphere today in this place, particularly towards the end of the game? Would you say they sort of got you over the line?
Yeah, 100%. I think at one point where it must have been like the 90th minute, I was looking at the clock and I couldn't hear nothing but the fans. So yeah, it felt really good, like them being there all the time and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good.
Christian Sadie speaking shortly after the final whistle at Fratton Park on Saturday. And as Pepe alluded to before that interview, a record crowd at Fratton Park at the weekend for the biggest attendance since, I think, in the league, December 2009. I feel like we might be repeating ourselves week in, week out, depending on how things go over the next few weeks as well, because now we've got the facilities in the Milton End to accommodate more fans and the segregation being moved as per however many supporters these particular away teams bring. Those numbers could fluctuate. So we might be saying that a few times between now and the end of the season, but nonetheless, 20,303 inside Fratton Park on Saturday. There was 20,100 and something for the visit of Reading a few weeks ago. So yeah, great support from Pompey. Really good noise towards the end of the game as well. We'll be talking about that as well as that Christian Sadie interview and going through the game chronologically in the next part of the show, where we'll also hear from head coach John Messina. He was talking about Christian Sadie, bringing him on and the importance of utilising his squad and bringing in players even if they haven't played for quite a while.
We felt that this afternoon would be the right game for him, and he came on and made a massive difference, and we've got that in abundance, I think, with the players sitting behind me. We've got that with the players that aren't even in the squad. So ultimately, you know, you never win football with just the 11 players. You need much, much more than that.
Stay tuned here on Express FM to hear that interview with the Pompey boss, as well as more reaction from myself, Andy and Pepe too.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening, welcome back to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM, driven to you as you've just heard there by Stagecoach across the South. Delighted to bring you a full review of the weekend's action in League One, so let's head straight back into it with Andy Mitchamore and Pepe Lacy. And we'll start off with the first action of the game. It came just 88 seconds after referee Ben Toner blue for the commencement of the match. Callum Lang giving Pompey the lead in the second minute of the game, feeding a shot underneath the goalkeeper Jamie Cumming, who perhaps should have done a little bit better with the effort. Nonetheless, Pompey taking the lead very, very early on. And Andy, let's go through the goal. Joe Rafferty throwing, Colby Bishop with his chest flicked onto Abu Kamara. He found Callum Lane really well. One touch on his left foot, brought it onto his right and fired it near post at Jamie Cumming. All round from all four players involved, really well worked and really nice quick move as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the urgency that we see from Rafferty taking that quick throw-in, and I mean, the number of goals in the last, I don't know, 3-4 months where there's been Colby Bishop input in sort of that early stage of the move, where on the highlights reel, sometimes it happens before the goal highlight actually starts.
Yeah.
But that sort of facing away from goal, taking a first touch and then playing in someone, in this case, Kamara, it's such a recurrent theme where he probably doesn't get the credit he fully deserves. Mm-hmm. If you just watch the highlight reels, you wouldn't know that he'd been so heavily involved in the goals. And then, yeah, Kamara cutting inside did really, really well there. I think, as I said, in the game at the Kasam, he was kind of negated a little bit by Oxford's left back, whereas he found more joy in that second half cutting inside after Lang came on in the second half of that game. And again, it was cutting inside here that he found that joy and creates, you know, a quite a nice chance for Callum Lang, who, yeah, the keeper should really save it, shouldn't he? Even if he doesn't hold it, there's no excuse for that to squeeze past you, but I mean, obviously not going to be complaining about that. And it is the dream start.
It is the dream start indeed, Pepe. And those were kind of dream starts, the quick starts to games that we talk about week in, week out. And to be fair to Pompey, that's number 9 unbeaten. And they do, well, they have done a recent week, started these games quite brightly. But to score so quick in that game, it set the precedent. And we'll talk about it in a minute, the second goal and the third goal. But it set the precedent for what was a really fiery encounter at Fratton Park.
Yeah, it sort of made up for the lack of goals at Charlton a week before. It was sort of Alden Miles Pert-Harris's late chance at the Valley and maybe Owen Moxon's volley in the first half. There were really no chances, and Pompey was sort of frustrated going forward by a very defensive Charlton side. And just going back to what I said earlier, speaking to an Oxford fan before the game, he was like, if we set up defensively, you'll just come at us. And that's what we did very early on. And I thought that's how the game would go. Obviously, it didn't in the first half. Pompey were incredibly frustrated. And I noticed you both mentioned Pompey's being cut out from the wing. Oxford setting up with a back five or a three with wing backs. Sort of cut out any chance really from Joe Rafferty's or Abu Kamara's balls in from the right, Conor Ogilvie and Paddy Lane from the left. It sort of just nullified Pompey from the wing really. It was, Oxford was sort of saying, all right, come at us through the middle. And Pompey, you don't really see that from Pompey really. All their attacking chances sort of come from the wing. Obviously, yeah. The goal in the first half obviously came from the wing, but that Pompey were frustrated out wide for most of the game, but they found a way, and that came 88 seconds into the game.
Did indeed. Frustrating though, Andy, just a few moments later, Oxford United awarded a penalty. And I say awarded, actually, they deserve a penalty. I don't think there's really much question about it. In the fifth minute, Miles Pert-Harris, who gave the ball away, being closed down by Ruben Rodriguez. He gave it to Mark Harris, who in turn fed former Pompey player Owen Dale on the right-hand side. And he was completely wiped out by Sean Raggett there. Andy, first of all, any complaints about the decision at all?
No, zero. Nope. I think Bentona's had a pretty poor day in the hole, if we're being honest. But the two main decisions of the day, which is the Oxford penalty and playing advantage for our goal, he did get right. Outside of that, it was not a good performance from the man. No. But he did get this correct. I think Pert-Harris, I think, for me in the first half, struggled a little bit being played in that deeper role. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely fine if it's something that he's not used to doing as much as he is playing in the 10 position. I think credit to Joe Rafferty quite a lot in the first half, who was giving him a lot of instructions off the ball of where to go, what to do, and helping him with his positioning, it looked like. So credit to Rafferty for that. But yeah, for this, I think it's frustrating because, I mean, with the power of hindsight and watching it back, you can see that Raggett really doesn't need to put his leg in there, and only one real outcome is coming from that. I mean, Dale's not going towards the goal. He's being pushed slightly wider. Raggett doesn't need to commit to that, does he? And it is a penalty. Zero complaints on that. Yeah, so it's a fair decision. And yeah, Norris gets sent the wrong way.
Zero complaints on the penalty, Andy. But just a quick word on Sean Raggett, who's had to come in and step up to the plate. And of course, the absence of Regan Poole alongside Conor Shocknessy. Conor Shocknessy gets a lot of applaudits, but it's easy to forget someone like Sean Raggett, who's been quite a consistent performer this season, and a very rare mistake from him this season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm quite happy to admit when I am wrong. And Sean Raggett, for me, has shown his ceiling to be higher than I thought it would be playing in this system with the sort of the 4-2-3-1 and bringing it out from the back a little bit. And I mean, for me, I always thought it was going to be a bit of a step down in terms of ball playing when Regan Poole was injured, because he just looked so good coming out with the ball from defence and driving through centre midfield. But I think for the most part this season, Raggett has, yeah, he's shown he's got a higher ceiling than I expected of him when he came into the side, to be honest. And this was an unusual mistake. And like I said, that's going to happen at the end of the day. I mean, anyone who's played football, no one plays the perfect game all the time. And yeah, unfortunately got caught out here a little bit. But on the whole, has had a really good season as far as I'm concerned. To be honest, yeah, better than I probably expected him to when he came into the side.
One of my first or half-time notes, Pepe, was Pompey being a little bit overran in midfield. Oxford United probably having the better of the opportunity. It was a very end-to-end game and a decent advert for League One football, to be quite fair. But from a Pompey perspective, very frustrating the way that Oxford set up. And they came here with the game plan. They executed it pretty well, of course. But Pompey really having to dig deep in that one. You mentioned Miles Pitt-Harris coming into the frame and not necessarily an out-and-out central midfielder, but he adopted that role. And, of course, Owen Moxon came on later in the match to replace him in that position. Do you think the way that Oxford set up with those fullbacks and inviting Pompey to have to come through the middle as opposed to using those sort of wide channels, as you mentioned a few moments ago, do you think that is a lot to do with why Pompey struggled so much, but also, you know, highlighting the fact that they still found a way to win?
Yeah, I thought it was before the game when I saw the lineup, I thought it was very attacking from John Messino. I thought it remain unchanged and keep Moxon, who played a tidy first half last week at the Valley against Charlton. I thought he'd done enough to keep his spot next to Marlon Pack. And I thought it was very attacking from Pompey. And I thought, oh, here we go, they're going to go for it. But then sort of as we got into the first half more, as the game grew on a little bit, you just sort of noticed there was a bit of an imbalance, really. You could see Miles Pitt-Harris sort of struggling a little bit, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he was sort of replaced by Owen Moxon at halftime. He wasn't. He lasted till the 78th minute, I think it was. But I thought it was a bit imbalanced in the first half, and I thought Pompey were sort of open down the left from counter-attacks, because I sat in the north upper, and you could sort of see that every time Pompey had a corner, Miles Pitt-Harris, it was one moment that stood out. It was Miles Pitt-Harris was sort of asking someone to cover him at sort of left back where Conor Ogilvie was so high up. And I think it was Owen Dale sort of did him for pace, and then Pompey was sort of exposed. Luckily, it was a long ball forward that went out for a goal kick. But just sort of those sort of things you'd expect a number eight sort of to be good at. He sort of wasn't quite at it. Andy mentioned Joe Ratty giving him some instructions during the first half. And yeah, it will come to him. John Messino said he can play in that eight role next to Marlon Pack. Do I think it'll start Saturday next to Marlon Pack? Probably not. I think it was a good time to rest Owen Moxon, really. He's played the last couple of games, and I think he'll come straight back into the team on Saturday.
And don't forget as well, Lee Evans has signed for Pompey. He hasn't played since September, granted. But yeah, Lee Evans hopefully will be available for Pompey this weekend. We're going to hear from him actually on Friday's instalment of the show as we preview Pompey's trip to Blackpool. Coming on to the third goal of the game then, Andy, the match winner, Christian Sadie, his first league goal for Pompey this season. On the counter-attack, the ball was kept in play, actually, by the most influential figure on the pitch, the corner flag in between the Milton end and the south stand. Conor Ogilvie picked it up, cleared it away to Colby Bishop. He ran in deep to sort of touch it on towards Marlon Pack. He was actually fouled, but as Marlon Pack was launching the ball forward over the top to Christian Sadie, referee Ben Toner had his whistle on his lips, ready to give that as a free kick. But saw Christian Saidy bearing down on goal. He had Brown to beat. He did so. Bit fortuitous with the ping off both their shin pads, I think, and it fell in the path of Christian Saidy, who still had quite a job to do. 30 yards from goal, bearing down on goalkeeper Jamie Cumming and finishing with a nice, calm, composed head. With a lot to unpack from that goal, Andy. Shall we start off with the corner flag?
I don't see any better place to start. Yeah, no one's ever used that sentence to me before, Jake. Let's start with the corner flag. Yeah, it's a game of small margins, hey, you have to say, with, you know, Oxford hitting the post twice and our third goal coming from a fairly unlikely ricochet off the corner flag like that. It's sometimes the bounce of the ball is just with you. But yeah, it's another example of what I was saying earlier about that Colby Bishop first touch facing away from goal and drawing a player out as he comes deep. And then that creates space in behind where he was originally. And yeah, it's, as I said, a good advantage from Ben Toner. Again, one of about three things he did right in the game for me. And lovely ball through from Pack. How many times have we said that in the last few weeks? Mm-hmm. Such a nice through ball. And Sadie's got a lot of work to do when he picks up the ball. And there's just confidence in his finishing. You can see from the way that Paddy Lane is celebrating before Sadie's even anywhere near the penalty box. Like, you can see that he's fairly certain the ball's going to go in. He's literally about 30 yards out when Lane starts putting his hands up in celebration. And then it's just like, if you play FIFA, it's just R1 and circle across the keeper, isn't it, really? It's a really nice, tidy finish to the keeper's left. He's never going to do anything about that one. And I was just really happy to see it. I don't think there's anyone that doubts that Christian Saidy just comes across as a thoroughly nice bloke. And you just wanted him to score for so many reasons. And yeah, that just lifted the roof off the Fratton end. It was, yeah, lush to be a part of.
R1 and circle, that means you're a PlayStation. You're a PlayStation player, are you, Andy?
I feel seen, Jake. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, I'm a PlayStation lad originally.
Ah, that's a shame. Yeah, great to see Christian Saidy get his first Pompey goal, league goal on Saturday. Pepe, you could see what it meant to him as well in the celebration. A really down-to-earth kind of figure. He's been out of the team over the last couple of months. John Massino, who we're going to hear from in a moment, highlights the way that he's had to sort of work his way back into the team on the training pitch. But to come on and score just 3 or 4 minutes after coming on and make the kind of impact that he did goes to show what kind of character Pompey have got, not just in Christian Saidy, of course, but throughout the entire team.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's sort of one of the most likeable figures in the current squad, isn't he? You look at the names like Cassini, Yenge stands out. But all the sort of the behind-the-scenes video, it's always Christian Saidy having a laugh with all the players, and he gets on well with everyone. Always see him smiling, and it's just so rewarding that it's him that gets the winner. And I wonder what that feels like as a manager, where you've just made a change, brought Callum Lang on and brought Christian Saidy on, who hasn't played since being taken off against Leighton Orient, I believe,
Leighton
when
Orient,
Pompey
yeah.
3-0 down. Was it that game?
Yep.
And then 4 minutes later, he gets the winner. And there's sort of flashbacks from last week with Pert Harris bearing down on goal, and he's see the defender track back and makes an excellent block. But this time, you see the defender tracking back, I'm thinking, oh no, not again. But luckily, he stayed composed in front of the Fratton end and got his goal, which it's so special because, like I said, he's one of the most likeable players in that current team, Jake. And yeah. It was so good just to see another smile on his face.
Pepe, thank you very much. We're going to listen now to what the Pompey boss himself had to say after the match at the weekend. Max Swatton first asked John Massino if the fans at Fratton Park on Saturday contributed in getting the team over the line to secure the win.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Towards the end, sort of John turned round and just speaking about the atmosphere, and it was incredible towards the back end of the game. I think, you know, a couple of things got us through. Obviously, I think the fans towards the back end, but although we probably weren't our best today, just making sure that we do grind out wins in very different ways. I thought some elements of our play today was really good. There was some stuff we were frustrated with, but just at this stage of the season, it is all about the result.
Would you say it's a real squad effort today?
Yeah, I mean, Christian comes on and makes the difference, and he obviously named man of the match, probably rightly so, because he was the difference maker today. And one of the messages I do try and instill in the lads is that for a player like Christian, who came off at half time against Leighton Orient just after the new year, found himself out of squads, not really getting a look in, he didn't come on against Charlton last week, but we felt that this afternoon would be the right game for him, and he came on and made a massive difference. And we've got that in abundance, I think, with the players sitting behind me. We've got that with the players that aren't even in the squad. So it's all about that. It's a bit cliche, but ultimately, you know, you never win football with just the 11 players. You need much, much more than that.
What do you put the quick start down to?
Well, I think the lads have trained really well all week. We spoke about after the Charlton game last week, following up a decent point away from home with a good 3 points at home. And, you know, I thought that we started with the right tempo. I think the goal came from Joe Rafferty taking a quick throw, and we managed to, obviously, getting in around the Mavs, picking up the second balls, Lange finishing it. And I thought after that, even after we'd kind of goal up, we looked like we were well in control. Obviously, the equaliser is a bit of a sucker punch, and then the game became a bit more frantic and a bit more open. And to be honest, it's difficult to digest, or it's difficult to really summarise the game too much right now, but, you know, like I said, the result's the most important thing.
How do you think the lads reacted to being pegged back much sooner than they probably expected?
I thought they were OK in terms of the reaction. I thought there were a couple of things that frustrated me. I genuinely thought that the Oxford side I've seen there were really good. It's not very eloquent, but I thought Oxford played well today. Some really, really good performances. They caused us problems. They kept the ball really well. I thought they pressed well, and it was a good game of football. I think one thing we could say about today was a really, really good game of football. So we reacted, I thought, all right to the equaliser. The most pleasing point for me was when I think we went a goal up, and after that point, I thought we controlled the game really well. So it was a bit frantic at the start of the second half, but after that, I thought we were well in control and deserved to win the game at that point.
What was the thinking behind the one change to the starting 11 you made?
I think it was the fact that Mox has come in, he's done really well, and probably a bit ahead of schedule in terms of where we'd actually need him to be because of Tom Lowry's injury. And I think that's just, it was a nice option for us to, we were speaking about Mars playing as a six, it was a nice option for us to try and have control of the game there. And two different players that give us definitely different attributes when they're playing. And you know, you probably saw some of the best of Mars today, probably a little bit of the parts of the game that he needs to improve upon as well. But it was nice to have that option anyway.
Christian said he's been waiting so long for his first league goal. How pleased are you for him, and how pleased are the staff and the other players for him as well?
Absolutely delighted for him. You could probably tell in the celebration. Obviously, the goal in and of itself was a big goal for us, but the fact Christian scored it makes it extra special, because if you take away even what's, you know, happened to him in January, with the fact that, and go back to it, he did get subbed off at half-time, and he's found himself out on the periphery for large parts of the last couple of months, but he's kept his head down, and everybody loves him. He's a really popular character. I think the fans absolutely love him. And the one thing I think that's been missing from his game over the past 8 or 9 months that he's been a Portsmouth player has been putting the ball on the back of the net. And he had a lot of time to think about it, and it was a really, really good finish.
I know we mentioned him at the start, but the support today, what do you make of it?
I think it was right up there in terms of memorable afternoons, and certainly the noise towards the back end of the game was just incredible. And I think everybody here is excited about where we're trying to get to, and I think we've got 5 more games at home, and yeah, 5 more of those would be brilliant.
John Massino there speaking with the club's media team shortly after Saturday's 2-1 victory over Oxford United. Let's get some reaction now on social media. Linda has got in touch on the email saying Fratton Park was certainly rocking on Saturday. Brilliant atmosphere and a win, even though we were second best. We had a terrible referee, says Linda. The only thing we did for us was to play advantage for Sadie's goal. The highlights for me were Lane running diagonal from a halfway line to stop Oxford's breakaway, Sadie's goal and clearance of, in front of the line as well. Yeah, and a brilliant defence. Best in the league, Pompey have, as things stand. A real good team performance. We rode our luck with Oxford hitting the post twice in previous seasons. Our team would not have stood up to the physical play of Oxford. Let's hope tomorrow night Barnsley against Bolton will end in a draw. So both lose 2 points. Play at Pompey. Thank you very much, Linda, for getting in touch. And one here on the text says, hi, Jake. Fantastic win at the weekend. Sadie deserved his goal. Really happy for him. Pompey looking set for the championship. Surely the fans gave the lads that last little push to get across the line. I sit in the north stand and it was absolutely rocking. Play at Pompey from Sam. Sam, thank you very much for getting in touch on the text. We'll be talking about that atmosphere when we come back after this break. And when we do come back, we'll wrap up things here on the show by reviewing a massive win for Pompey's women on Sunday afternoon. One which Jay Sadler tries to put into words.
And all it takes in games like this is one moment. They had their one moment and they took it. And then that final 10, 15 minutes is just about belief. It's about doing everything we've done in training, trusting the process, trusting each other. And then there's just a moment of utter carnage and chaos is the best way to describe it.
We'll get the final thoughts of Andy and Pepe and the lowdown on yesterday's league fixture for Pompey's women in South Wales when the Football Hour returns after these messages.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7pm every day, you can take advantage of a Knight Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Knight Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM. You join myself, Jake Smith, alongside the company of Andy Mitchamore and Pepe Lacey for the next 15 minutes or so. We've gone over the events of Saturday's 2-1 victory for Pompey over Oxford United. And Andy, just before the break, we heard some messages coming in from Sam and Linda on the emails and the texts respectively. And a great point mentioned within those messages was the fact that Oxford hit the post twice on Saturday, and you can't help but feel that maybe previous seasons that kind of luck doesn't rub off in Pompey's favour. Something is happening this season where, yeah, we're playing some decent football, we're 9 unbeaten, we deservedly are top of the league, but sometimes you need to ride your luck, and Saturday at moments was a bit of that.
Yeah, 100%. There's been a few of those this season where you feel like we have got the rub of the green in those key moments, but to be fair, there's been the other way as well. You think about that, the goal we conceded against Cambridge that may or may not have crossed the line. You know, it does go both ways. But yeah, I think I'm not saying anything too binding yet, Jake, about it being our season. I'm still anxious and scared and terrified and, you know, elevated heart rate and stuff. So I'm not writing it off as done yet and it's our year just because these little things are going our way. But yeah, you're definitely correct that in this game on the Saturday, that could have been very different. I think if Oxford score, was it like the 49th minute or something, they hit sort of the join between the crossbar and the post. If that goes in, it's a very different second half. So yeah, it was a large amount of relief, but those little breaks did go our way in this game for sure.
And Pepe, just wanted to talk about the atmosphere at Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon, particularly the final sort of 10, 15 minutes or so. The ground was absolutely rocking. The final 5 minutes in injury time, just a chorus of Blue Army, which lasts for the entire 5 minutes of injury time as well, made it that bear pit that we've been wanting to see Fratton Park for a long time. The atmosphere is always pretty decent, isn't it, at home? But Saturday was particularly special. When was the last time you, Pepe, heard anything like that?
Oh, good question.
You don't have to name the time, but yeah.
Oh, no. Wigan at home, I think it was the Easter Monday when Paul Cook returned.
Oh, yep.
That was special atmosphere.
2019?
2018, wasn't it?
18, Mark. Yeah,
that was a lot. Oh, that's a long time ago. But yeah, no, I was thinking about that. Wigan at home. I think there was one game in League Two. I think it was right when we were down there at the bottom. I think it was either Hartlepool, Rochdale or Oldham. And there was one game and it was just full on Blue Army, like we saw on Saturday, relentless for about 10 minutes. I can't remember when it was, but it was when we were in League Two. But Wigan at home, then the game, than one of those games that I've just mentioned there. And it was just such a special atmosphere, wasn't it? It's people being reminded of AC Milan at home and Stockport in the 90s. And it just felt good. And it was sort of, I've watched every single video, Jake, that's been on Twitter about 100 times, especially the one Eric Eisen's posted. Yep, it's just so special. And it just feels like there's a buzz around the place again and everyone's behind the team. And the players have got the fans backing and it just does feel special. And I hope we're seeing Marlon Pack on Southsea Common at the start of May.
10 games to go.
It's a long 10 games, isn't it?
It is a long 10 games. Just to remind ourselves as well that, you know, things can happen very quickly. So nothing is done yet, but I'm sure the team and John Massino will be very grounded. They all know that already. They all know that. Andy, just very finally, then we mentioned about atmosphere on Saturday. That's the kind of crowd you want to see at Fratton Park. And of course, the away games too, but particularly at Fratton Park between now and the end of the season. We welcome Derby, we welcome Barnsley and Wigan, the last home game of the season. You need that atmosphere. The fans have got just as much of a job as the 11 on the pitch to try and carry us over the line now.
100%, yeah. I mean, you could feel there was a physical power, I think, like of that buzz in the last 10 minutes especially, and that does migrate onto the pitch itself. One of my friends is on the coaching staff for Oxford United, so he was on the bench on Saturday, and he WhatsApped me after the game and said, Fratton's incredible. It was the best atmosphere. Days like that are why I'm in football. And that's after he's come off the losing side. And I think that's just a massive compliment that even people on the away bench are saying, you know, that was pretty sick.
Yeah.
I think that's a big compliment to everyone who was in the ground, to be honest with you. And it made it like the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. And I mean, I guess the other one that jumps to mind where it's been like that sort of recently-ish would, compared to what Pepe was saying, was the Carabao Cup, whatever it was, game against the team up the road on Tuesday night. It was hammering down with rain. I think that's probably the other noise that jumps to mind. But it was definitely in the top few from the last few years in terms of the the feeling around the place at the end of the game. Like, yeah, this is actually starting to get some momentum now. Something might be happening here. And that's exciting, isn't it? It's so nice to have a Saturday where you go away feeling that buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it all comes together towards the end of the season. Last day of the season, the day before my birthday. So I'm hoping that weekend is going to be a messy one in Lincoln, hopefully, if all goes well.
That'd be a nice little birthday present. Harvey Marks on X saying, that win is mega. Not at our best, but still found a way. Most nervous I've been at a Pompey game for quite some time. That atmosphere in added time is one of the best I've ever seen. I mean, a capital letters finishing one game closer. Harvey Marks there on X. Right, it's not just Pompey's men that are doing well in their respective league, but the Pompey women as well. Top of the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. They had a bit of a scare yesterday afternoon when they travelled to Cardiff City, who took the lead on the 72nd minute through Sargent. But for a quick brace in the 85th and the 87th minute, two goals from Emma Jones turned things around at the Newport Stadium to hand Pompey yet another league victory. And following that frantic second half at the Newport Stadium, Max Swatton spoke with double scorer and match winner Emma Jones.
How do you even begin to sum up the final 10 minutes here?
It was tough, but we showed that we can fight, and even going down with like 15 minutes to go, you know, we just showed our fight.
What did you make of the game overall, second half, first half put together?
It was frustrating. They parked the bus, you know, which tested us. You know, if teams press us, I think we find it easier to find gaps, but fair play to them. They set up really well. And I think towards the end of the second half, they just got tired. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just kind of got it in the box and hoped for the best. And, yeah.
Talk us through your goals.
I just kicked it as hard as I could. I don't know, it just dropped me. Honestly, I can't really remember. It just, second one, M took a touch and I took it off her foot, and I thought I was going to boot her. I thought I was going to kick her. So, luckily they went in.
What do you think sparked that spell at the end, or was it just a case of keeping going and keeping your head tied throughout the whole 90 minutes?
I think frustration and, you know, like, I didn't think that we weren't going to score or, like, bring it back. I just think we've all got such a fight, and we just want to win. So I think that's it.
How important is it now to get the balance right between being frustrated about the performance at times, but also taking the result for what it is, and looking back and being able to say we grinded that one out and we ended up taking the 3 points?
I think it's important to have these games and know that we can do it when we, you know, don't play at our best. I think we just have to take the positives out of it and work on it for next week.
What's the mood in the dressing room like after that one, and what's the consensus from the girls about that game?
I think relief. I mean, obviously we're all really happy to get the win, but yeah, relieved that it's over, and you know, now we can look at it and work on it.
Forward Emma Jones fair talking after she scored two goals in 2 minutes yesterday to lead the Blues to a 2-1 win over Cardiff City, strengthening Pompey's grip at the top of the league. Let's hear now from gaffer Jay Sadler. He also spoke after the game to Max, who first asked for his immediate feelings following the full-time whistle.
Yeah, very, very difficult to summarise that game. Very easy in terms of there was one team trying to play football, one team that had the ball. Be very surprised if the stats don't show 70%+ possession. But we had to find a way to break down what at times was a 6-4, what at times was 7-3. And it was difficult. They didn't give us spaces. Credit to them that they obviously had a way of trying to prevent us and frustrate us. And it worked in that first 45 minutes. But for us as a group, we're showing some real good growth as individuals and as a collective to not allow that to alter our thinking, alter our game plan. Felt we probably could have moved the ball a bit quicker. I'd say their normal shape 4-4-2. Can we get plays in between the lines? And I just felt in that first half, we didn't have opposite movements. When Ali and G dropped in, do we have a runner in behind? Could we stretch them? Could we disrupt them? I think everything was in front of them, and it was quite difficult. And when the ball did go wide, they had 2-3 players to prevent the switches. And that's what we said at half-time, was how can we move the ball quicker? In that second period, we needed to get the ball higher up the pitch as quickly as possible. And then we needed to work. We needed to disrupt the back line. We needed to lure players in, open up spaces and find spare players. And then there was a sucker punch goal. But the way we've responded shows the mentality of this group. And ultimately, I'm obviously proud.
What sparked that last spell in the last 10 minutes?
Obviously, we felt we were always in the ascendancy. We felt that we were the team that were dominating the game. In any way Cardiff could affect our rhythm, they would. Whether it was taking time on throw-ins, taking time on goal kicks. It was frustrating. It was hard. It was a hard game to watch and manage from the sidelines. However, ultimately, we then went one down. A foul in the middle of the park, not given. We've obviously stopped, been reactive. They've punished. They've scored. And all it takes in games like this is one moment. They had their one moment and they took it. And then that final 10, 15 minutes is just about belief. It's about doing everything we've done in training, trusting the process, trusting each other. The players, the finishers coming off the bench to give us a little bit more attacking threat and detail. And then there's just a moment of utter carnage and chaos is the best way to describe it. In and around the box, great composure from Emma Jones on both finishes. And ultimately, we've ended victorious with 2-1 win.
How did you react to the goal, the second one? I'm guessing you hadn't even processed the first one yet.
No. So when the first one went in, obviously we changed shape. We altered it slightly. Went to a back three. We played G in the 10 to try and occupy their four central players to try and lure them in with two strikers. So Emily Pittman came on as a top two striker. And we had as many attacking players on the bench as possible. And to get that first goal was massive. But we knew we wanted more. And that was the feeling from the players, to get the ball, to get it back, and then to create attacking. And within a couple of moments, the second's gone in. And I can't even tell you how it's gone in. I can't even tell you the feeling on the side. But what it was is we knew we still had a job to do, and we knew there was going to be moments. And they've had a free kick at the end, and we've essentially had to see the game out. But it was a difficult game. It was different. We faced a lot of teams this season. This was a challenge in itself with the way the opposition set up. But ultimately, this group have found a way. There's a lot of words that I can describe this group, but that just every word feeds into our mentality, feeds into our growth. And although the performance wasn't at the level we wanted to be today, you're at the business end of the season, and what matters is winning games of football, and we've won today.
The result in isolation, exactly what you're talking about there. What does that say about this team?
Speaks 1,000 words about this group and how much of a privilege they are to work with week in, week out. We've obviously set our target at the start of the season of where we wanted to be, but we're just living in the moment. Each game as it comes, each game proves different challenges. Next week we play Ipswich, very possession dominant team who leave spaces, and it's going to be probably an end-to-end game. Today it was the complete opposite of that, and a team that we've obviously previously beat by a large scoreline, and you could see what they've done today. So every game's different, and we have to find a way through our quality, but more so through our belief. And I think today the group showed a trust in one another, a trust in the game plan and what we were trying to do, and a belief. And when the moments came, all right, we probably could have been better in the first half with some of our finishes, but when the moments come late on in the game, we've taken them, and hopefully we sent the travelling fans, who a lot of the fans this week had done the journey up to Newcastle last, a week later they're here at Cardiff. Like, I've never known a more dedicated and committed fan base, and hopefully they'll go home absolutely buzzing after today.
Jay Sadler there speaking after yesterday's 2-1 victory away at Cardiff City. Next up for the Blues, fourth placed Ipswich Town at Wesley Park this Sunday. That's Mother's Day, 2 p.m. kickoff at Havant Waterlooville's Wesley Park. Pompey Women remain top of the league, of course, 45 points from 16 games, only seven matches remaining for second place. Hashtag you have a game in hand. Right, Pompey Live is back this Saturday for the men's trip to Blackpool. Match day number 37 for the Blues. Can they get another win?
Here we go.
Pompey Live.
It's back to winning ways for Portsmouth Smith.
Christian Tady scores! Portsmouth lead! Tady's first league goal for Portsmouth! Didn't he take it well? It's Portsmouth 2, Oxford 1.
10 games remain in the league, and a trip to Blackpool awaits Pompey next. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday afternoon from 2.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM. Pompey Live.
with Aquacars.
Yep, that's right. Live from Bloomfield Road, the seaside town of Blackpool, from 1 p.m. From 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff at Bloomfield Road for Pompey. Right, big thank you to everybody who tuned in to this evening's show, everyone who got involved in the text tweets and the emails as well. And a big thank you to our two guests for tonight's edition of the Football Hour as well, Andy Mitchamore. Thank you very much for your contributions. Have a fantastic week, my friend.
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, lovely to chat as always, pal. See you soon.
Likewise to Pepe Lacey. Pepe, thank you very much. Have a good evening, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
And you, Jake. Pleasure as always. Shame I can't be in the studio, but I'll come in next time.
You'll mate. Come in next time. We'll write you in
I'll
next
come
time.
In next time.
Andy Mitchamore and Pepe Lacey, thank you both very, very much. Your next football fix here on Express FM comes this Wednesday from 6 o'clock with Henry Deacon and Over the White Line. I'll be back on Friday for your next instalment of the Football Hour. But coming up next here on the station this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Jeff Dorsett with the Soft Rock Show. Until next time, Blues fans, take care and good night.